This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're anything like me, you can tell when you're about to be sick. It's always during the holidays, you're getting on planes, you're around family, you're around kids. I do the same thing. I've been telling people about Zicam for years, and now they are a sponsor of this podcast. Trust Zicam to knock out a cold at the first sneeze of the season. Other cold remedies only mask symptoms, but Zicam is homeopathic and clinically proven to shorten colds when taken at the first sign. Find Zicam cold remedy products from rapid melts to elderberry medicated fruit drops at all major retailers, including Amazon. Zicam cold remedy products are safe and effective. Visit Zicam.com/ride and receive a $2 coupon on your next cold remedy purchase. Thank you, and you're welcome.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
We are driving in the dead of night.
Ugh.
AKA.
It's so late.
Not 5 o'clock yet. It's not even. I don't know. Is it like this every year?
Yes, but I...
I mean, or has something happened?
No. It's, I think what's happened is Donald Trump is president, so everything seems very dark anyway. And then, the sun, abandoning us at 3:30 in the afternoon is really adding to it.
I guess it must be that, but part of me thinks the sun is slowly dimming.
Oh, it definitely is. The sun's dying. It'll be dead by 2035.
Okay, yeah. So don't have kids.
Act accordingly, please.
And the bright side, don't have to worry about sunscreen.
The bright side is there won't be any more bright side. Welcome to our show. I feel like I haven't talked to you or seen you in a very long time.
We pre-recorded the last few episodes before that. Yeah.
And that's
so
right.
It has been... multiple weeks.
3 weeks.
Three at least.
Chris, how are you?
I'm great. I went on a tour. It was so fun.
Ooh, tour highlights, please.
I rented a truck because that's what they gave me. But then I thought, how perfect to drive through the South, Texas and Oklahoma and Louisiana while in a truck. Constantly having the Popeyes theme song in my head. It was so fun, and I drove through.
Love that chicken from Popeyes?
Yeah, Louisiana fast. When I was going fast, I would sing that. I guess I hadn't figured out the stereo, so I did a lot of singing, did a lot of podcast listening.
Yeah.
I listened to ours.
Did you?
Because I thought there'd be hidden jokes. And I'm clawing to think of new material
yeah.
lately. And
did it help?
I mean, nah, it just was generally enjoyable. I like the way we talked.
I did too.
There wasn't material in there for me to, I need to listen to more than a couple episodes. But I had never listened to them.
I listened to
the pilot.
You've never listened to it?
It's embarrassing, but no, I don't might want to hear my own Muppet voice.
I'm also embarrassed to say that I do listen to it because I can't ever remember the details of our conversation, so I genuinely enjoy it as if it's two people I don't know and like I wasn't there for it.
Right, no, that I did experience that. I'm like, I don't have memory of these conversations,
yeah.
and there are moments of brilliance that we just don't, in the moment, give ourselves credit, because who would do that?
We would ruin it if
anyway,
we were doing that. Stop everything. Did you hear what we just said?
Yeah. Look, can we just recap audibly now in the moment? That would be narcissistic.
But hey, that's what everyone's doing these days. Why can't we do it too?
In Dallas, after my show, there was a tornado. We were listening for the sounds of trains. Apparently, tornadoes sound like trains. And if you hear a train outside, it's not a train. It's wind that can kill you. And cows and tractors floating. I don't know. Helen Hunt,
no,
Bill Paxton hovering above while on cowback, like flying rodeo stars. And then when I went to New Orleans, there was what appeared to be reminders of a hurricane. I mean, it was a tropical storm.
Yeah.
Olga, I think her name was.
Yeah.
And she was not happy.
No, rarely are.
And driving through New Orleans, it became clear how vulnerable they are when water... Like, the freeway was above, just 10 feet above water.
Yeah.
It's not a bridge. It's just kind of being suspended. And if the water rises at all, there would be no getting out of it. There's no exits.
You'd think they would. I guess it wasn't like that when they built it.
Maybe not. Yeah. I want to say poor planning, but I don't want to offend anyone.
Let's not.
But yeah, there was. And there's just houses on the side of the road that maybe weren't built up to code, or they didn't have permission to build their house, and it was just elbows deep in water.
Well, also,
or waste.
It's
your waste falls
probably
where your elbows are.
Waste water.
Yes.
Oh. I see what you mean.
It may have been water with waste in it.
I bet there was waste.
Waste high, waste water. With human waste high.
Oh, horrifying.
It is.
Well, that's a good dog.
That's a good dog, and she's a runner.
That's a puppy running with the mom. Oh, it's a dog parade.
Oh,
What's happening?
Why is there a dog parade? It's everyone with different dogs showcasing them.
What if these three people just got kicked out of the dog park that's right down the street here? Somebody was like, you three out now.
You are no longer part of this dog show. You call that a well-maintained dew claw? And then I get out in a cardigan and I check the underbelly for winners. That's what you have to do.
You have to check their underbelly.
These are nice husky genitals. You are the winner.
Hold up. You win.
I think genitals are a big part of winning a dog show.
Really?
It can't just be coat.
It's gotta be balls.
It's gotta be coat, behavior, balls, and then stairs and tunnel running.
And yeah, there's tunnel running, general enthusiasm, how quickly can you eat?
And the
things
only
things dogs are good at.
Yeah, they do have eat speed.
Do you know that my dog, George, I have this new food, sorry to sidebar you, but I have this new dog food that I had to start feeding them because they got sick on their old dog food in a very bad way. So I was like, fine, only the best for you two assholes that absolutely contribute nothing to this household.
And you do, they should do more around the house.
Yes.
And
pick up a little.
Did you go natural balance?
No. I went like the kind that's in the refrigerator at the grocery store that only assholes buy. But I was like, fine, we're here now. Let's do it.
Paleo raw dog meat.
Yes. It's basically like someone made someone a chicken dinner, balled it up into gray balls, and are like, now it's for your dog. So George loves this food so much that she gets up at 6:30 in the morning. And at around 4:30 in the afternoon, that's when she's ready for breakfast and dinner. Like, she's calling the shots. She won't leave me alone. She sits next to me, stamps her feet. She makes crying noises. So I'm like, fine, but I'm going to feed you now and you're going to be starving in 6 hours or whatever. So every time she eats, she's eating like it's her first meal of 4 days. She did it the other day and then just turned around and immediately barfed. Like, I'm like, you have a severe eating disorder, George. I don't know what to do.
And it's like a 9-to-5 job eating now?
Well, I mean, it's just that normally I would feed them. Normally it would just be like a cup of kibble that's just thrown down and they don't really like it and they don't really eat it.
Right.
But this stuff is like I'm giving them half my burrito, essentially.
Right, right.
But it's from the store. And they are just like, this is the greatest. Every meal is the greatest meal of their lives.
But it's healthy. They're not like getting bigger.
No. It's really good for them.
Wow. Yeah.
Everyone, but George likes it so much, she makes herself throw up.
Because kibbles, I mean, we've all tried them. My mom would accidentally put it in a sandwich or something. I've had pet food before.
Yes. No, you know.
And the dry stuff is really not good.
No, it isn't.
And when the times I put Friskies in my mouth, I do a lot of experimenting when I was little.
Sure.
It is salty cardboard chunks. It's the worst.
I'm with like a light fish flavor, which I don't want anyway.
No. If you're going fish, go heavy.
Sardine laden.
I love fish. When people are eating fish and they're like, is this fish fishy? I want to slap them with a fish. I find that most appropriate. Just a wet, fresh, caught slap to the side of the face with a marlin, because what a silly statement.
Yeah.
No, this fish is beefy. I would love to be just the most sarcastic fish waiter.
Now, listen, you just wrote a bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you would listen back to that and be like, oh my God, this fish waiter thing is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You wouldn't, right?
No.
But you did. But it is.
I suppose I got to quit poo-pooing.
In general?
Yes. It's just disgusting. It's human behavior that doesn't win a dog show. Why should it win a human show?
It wins so many human shows.
When you see a dog at Westminster and at the end of their run, they just lay a hot coiler. they are punished with last place. Why are humans above that?
Wait, can I just say this? A phrase like hot coiler is the kind of boy language that I'm jealous, culturally jealous of men about. You all sit around trying to be disgusting for each other, right? Yeah. That's what that's from, right?
Yeah.
Some kind of friend group where you were all in Tahoe and then everybody needs to make up a new way to say shit,
just
right?
In between smelling each other's farts in a cabin.
Yes.
Men are disgusting.
I mean, but it's like,
it's so fun. I wish
there's
I had
a creativity
friends.
To it. There's something about it that I'm so jealous of.
Yeah, hot coiler's okay. I think that it makes
good.
You think of hair care or toasters.
Yes.
And
it does seem like the newest thing from like Dyson, where it's like, you have our blow dryer, now use the hot coiler. That's right. Put hot shit in your hair. See what happens now. Boom. Richard Dyson.
The healthiest scalp ever.
The new secret to shiny hair. Shit.
I'm going to guess. Just go ahead and do what I thought I'd never do, is in the moment congratulate myself for hot coiler.
You should.
Hot coiler alert.
Coiler alert. This is shit.
Oh, that's fun.
Okay, so that's the second bit we've written.
Yes.
We're going to have a 15-minute, tight 15 ready for you by the end of this.
I got to write a new thing. I know that pretty soon someone's going to, you know, offer me, do you have any new material? And let me look at my podcast notes. Oh, yeah, here's a half hour. Bam!
Boom, in your fucking face.
I'm just going to dictate it and show it to them.
Hold on. We need to talk about, now that we're on this topic, mm-hmm. I will introduce it.
Okay.
Your Comedy Central special came out.
It was, yes.
Is coming out?
I'm letting people assume it's a special, but it's not the thing I shot in Portland.
It's a different show you did for comedy.
Yeah, it's called Featuring, and it was supposed to be a shorter set, but I went long, and they still used all of it.
Hell yes, they did, because you're good at comedy.
Thanks, and people have been complimenting it, the kind of people I want. You just got to get on Comedy Central and then have them show people your thing,
yes.
And then it validates you.
Yes, you need validation. Everybody does, and also, you need validation, I think, especially because you get the kind of thing where people tell you how good you are, but it's only like you're at that bar right there. You know what I mean? It's like, it's always in the same spot. You don't understand. You need the wider spectrum of appreciation. And you know that the people, when you do the business or whatever, are going to like your set.
Other comics. Yeah, I've always been a comic. And I just realized it's maybe because I'm not being presented to civilians.
That's right.
So I've gotten a lot of civilian compliments, and that feels great.
I mean, stranger civilian compliments. Mm-hmm. What more could anyone want?
One time in my neighborhood, there was a man, and a lot, you know, he was very well-dressed. He had a very tall, rich man's turban. There was a gem on. He looked like a visiting dignitary.
Oh, okay.
And he said, "You are lucky to have the face you have. It's a happy face, and you're lucky to have it." And I said, "Well, what a nice thing to tell a stranger."
Yeah.
And I was happy all damn day.
Yes.
He wasn't smiling when he said it, though. He actually looked a little upset. And I think that
that's
what he
jealousy.
Meant. He's like,
yeah.
"I always have this upset face, even when I go around complimenting people on their happy face. And yet none of it rubs off on my face."
And that makes me unhappy.
Yes, but it put a spring in my step. It was when I moved into that neighborhood, and it was a great way to start things.
That is a really nice one. If I may, go ahead and trampoline off you. Mm-hmm. Tell my story of the one time that happened to me.
Someone said you had a lucky face of a winner?
Someone came into a restaurant where I was sitting with my group of friends. This was definitely early 2000s. And this guy came in where you're all eating brunch. So there was probably like six of us at this table. This guy came in off the street and did this. It was like watching a one-man show where he stopped and goes, "I'm so sorry. I just had to stop and tell you that you're one of the most beautiful people I've ever seen." And it was this thing, right? And I was like staring at him like, is this a prank? Did these guys make this guy do this? Like,
someone set this up.
It was kind of crazy.
Is this Gene Simmons?
Yeah, but the guy, who was clearly a gay guy, so he was, you know, I think he had an affinity for me in that the way that only gay men can for a girl like me, but he also looked a lot like me. So there was part of it that was almost like a compliment to him.
Oh, that's
in
so
a weird
funny.
Way.
Really, you'd recognize that maybe you had a sibling-like
similarity? He had like black Irish features, he had big, thick, dark eyebrows and blue eyes, and it was, I was like, well, thanks, that's amazing. And everyone at the table is kind of like, Karen, or whatever. And I was just like, I think that might have been more about him than it was about me.
It does kind of take away from it when they look just like you.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but I went to
you are gorgeous.
I went to some youth group camp in Estes Park, Colorado, overlooking the Overlook Hotel from The Shining.
That's
or it's
right.
One of the three places they shot The Shining. But there was a kid. Everyone kept coming up and saying, "You have a brother here, right?" And I'm like, "No, I don't." And then I saw this younger, taller, handsomer version of me, but his face. And I went up to him. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, you're the guy that everyone says I look like." And he was like, "Yeah." I could tell he didn't see it, but he looked just like me. It's just, I was like the kind of worst posture version of him. A little shorter, tiny little feet. You know, he looked me up and down. He's like, "Oh, thank God."
Ooh.
Yeah, if I was maybe the runt of a litter. But right now, I'm the winning Westminster shit dog.
You know, when we showed sheep in 4-H, we had to hold the skin that was on either side of their throat and stick our knee in their basically kind of thorax area so that their guts would bloat out. And that was basically having like bloaty guts was a plus
also
for
like
sheep.
Practicing farm jujitsu.
It is a little bit.
What?
I was like practicing self-defense against a sheep that didn't want to be there and was not going to threaten me or harm me in any way.
Hey, that's how we treat animals.
Hey, look. Hey, do you want to get sold for slaughter? Then you better get like blow up.
Yeah, you let me kick you while you're down, beautiful sheep.
Another great dog.
Oh.
What's happening?
Why? Is today the street dog show?
It really is.
Oh, and the dog owners really do look like their pets.
They do.
I mean, that guy had a basset hound face if I've ever seen one.
Do we want to go back to the tour? Any highlights you've missed?
Oh, I had... New Orleans it was pouring rain in a way that I've never experienced.
Mm.
And Jessica did a great job setting up my tour and finding some of the places provided hotels. Some of them were nice hotels. Other ones, it was a smaller venue with a Super 8. I'm not a hotel snob.
Yes.
But in New Orleans, it was a a bed and breakfast, and I already think that's a strange concept.
It is.
You're just going in and meeting some lady's cats, and all their belongings are everywhere. And I walked in, it looked like they were, everything was boxed up. It was a total mess. It looked like a hoarder house.
Ooh.
It immediately seemed very haunted, and I felt uncomfortable the minute I got there, but I had been driving. Maybe I was in a bad mood. It was pouring rain. They charged me $30 to park in a mud puddle. But the more I learned about the city, though, there's nowhere to leave a car, and it's normal to stay in these bed and breakfasts. And I felt like I was being kind of rude because I said, this isn't what I expected.
Yeah.
And she said, well, it's already been paid for. And I'm like, well, I guess the photos, you know, I was being kind of shitty about it. But then I learned that she's like, well, tonight I have to take my husband to the hospital. It's maybe one of his last visits. And she was really emotional. And then also they were being evicted from this house after being in it for 60 years
what?
Or something.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and they had 5 days and they had to pack everything up. Meanwhile, guests who had scheduled to stay there were showing up.
Sure. Well, I'm sure. And they probably needed the money, so they weren't canceling people.
Right. And I sent her a long email and said, I hope your husband's okay. I had a great time. They made my room that looked like a storage room with, oh my God, above the door, there was like a negligee that was dusty.
What?
And it looked like it was the size made for a child.
What?
And it was on a hanger above the door.
No.
And a fan was blowing on it. So all night, and they did make my room look beautiful, albeit very haunted. There was a netting over it so the malaria mosquitoes can't reach the already sick person who probably died there
in the
40s.
Bed?
Yeah, it was a room for a dying child, and her negligee was up. I don't know why I keep saying the word negligee. Let's just stick with nightgown.
Nightgown's better.
But it was fluttering in the wind at night, and it was from a fan, and I knew why, but it was dancing in the darkness, and I was horrified, and I didn't sleep at all. And I didn't wake up and have the breakfast. I don't want to eat the porridge made by and the man was back. He was out of the hospital and he was making breakfast. I'm like, oh, you should relax. He's apparently terminal. I don't know. It was an emotional stay.
No, that's not the burden you need to take on when you're just trying to do some sets.
And I took a nap before my show. My alarm didn't go off. I woke up at 9:15. The show started at 8:30. Guy had called me 15 times. So I called him in a panic. He said, how close are you? He was freaking out. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. My alarm didn't go off. And I looked and it was a little over a mile away. And I ran in the rain with an umbrella and I got there in 8 minutes.
No.
So that, my
are you
hip,
kidding me?
My hip works great. I sprinted and there, you know, that town is riddled with people that want to try out hilarious, give me your money pranks. Like, I bet for $10, I can guess where your shoes are.
Yeah, yeah.
I was warned about that one. And then they say, they're on Bourbon Street or what, you know, and then you have to give them $10 or they beat you with some kind of a voodoo stick. There's a voodoo
careful,
culture there.
Careful.
There's voodoo. I was there on a day of voodoo, celebrating voodoo.
Oh.
People were dressed, you know, in jester hats and Cat in the Hat hats and steampunk type goggles.
Chris, is there a chance that you ate something weird in this weird house and this everything else was hallucinating?
I never went on tour. I've been on acid for 3 weeks. It was, but I made it. I made it in the rain. I made it past people trying to trip me even. That's the one thing about New Orleans. I love it, and it was exciting to be there, albeit for 24 hours, but it's kind of like Las Vegas in that it's everyone kind of on their worst drunken behavior.
Yes, yes.
And it's really celebrated, and I kind of don't like that when everyone has permission. It's like the same reason I like to go out on Tuesdays or Wednesdays.
Why is that?
Because the weekend warriors, the you know.
Don't make me ask.
Yeah. It's you know, I don't like it when everyone else is doing it.
Oh, got it.
And Vegas and New Orleans, everyone else.
They're always doing it, on Tuesday and Wednesday.
I'm going home early and reading a book because of this whole city's agreement to engage in debauchery.
Yes. You know okay, I mean? I get it, yes.
Yeah, because I'm no stranger to debauchery.
No, you like a good debauch, but not every day.
I want to be the only debaucher.
I mean, who doesn't?
It was, yeah, but that show was so fun. The people that came to see the podcast fans on the whole tour, it was overwhelming and felt
great. Did
a bunch
of people come?
Especially to New Orleans.
Really?
And so when I showed up drenched in rain and also sweat, breathing painfully because I had just sprinted, and the woman opening for me was, she was out of material. She was really stretching, and I felt so bad, but I immediately got on stage, and I couldn't even breathe. And so they just kind of applauded because I couldn't talk. I was so... But my hip felt great the next day, by the way. it's 100%. I can sprint in the rain.
Yes, you have your wheels back.
Yes, God, and these wheels are oiled and ready to race.
Love it.
I had so much, I had a great time.
That's great.
New Orleans was great.
How many cities did you go to?
I went to Dallas, Tulsa, Oklahoma City. I canceled the show in Houston because the Astros won and I didn't want to compete with that.
Oh.
And so I went to Austin, and then I went to Lafayette, and then I went to New Orleans, and I think I left out cities. And then I went back to Austin to do Cap City, which was great.
Oh, nice. Good.
That's where I started. And
yeah, that's great.
It was a 24-year-old version of me looking down, I guess, from heaven, because young me is dead.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Kurt
is alive, and young me is proud.
Proud and sad to be dead.
Yes, just like the 15-year-old me is happy that 44-year-old me can do kickflips still, or whatever. You know what I mean.
And has his own apartment.
Yes, yes.
Totally.
Young me thought I'd never, he thought I'd always be living in dad's basement. it was the best, and the fans were the best, and I really had a great time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
And I want to go back to New Orleans when I don't have a show and actually experience.
And help that family?
Yeah.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stay there and tip more. So the people that made up my room, they put so much care and attention to every little pillow placement. Just seeing the contrast of when I arrived and it was a storage room that no one had stayed in for a while. And then I got back and I was like, oh, I owe these people an apology for my attitude when I first walked into this.
Yeah, I also think you have the same thing I have, which is when you don't eat, you get upset. But you don't ever go, oh, this is what's happening. You get upset at yourself that you're upset.
Yes.
When actually you just have a sugar sensitivity and you just need to eat a piece of string cheese.
I give me the key, I'll fill out the paperwork. She had a whole spiel about, here's the map, here's a place to do this. I'm like, I don't have time for this. I have to go eat now. I'm getting so hangry. And I did. And when we were done, I just walked out into the rain without an umbrella, and I just asked people on the street where I should eat. And they're like, well, what do you want? Anything. I don't have time for specifics. And I went to Call of Port, I believe it was called, and just had a couple drinks and had a burger, and it was delicious.
Nice, yeah.
And I hadn't eaten meat in a long time. That's how hungry I was. I'm like, I need...
Sustenance.
Basically George's dog food right now.
Yeah. And then you ate it?
Yeah.
I would say she can get it done in about 24 seconds.
Oh, I ate this hovering over it with my arms hugging the plate like someone was going to steal it. I ate once again at gunpoint. And it was really fun. And then I was in a great mood. I really want to go back to New Orleans.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
I had a great time.
I shouldn't say this, but while you were telling that story, I was kind of thinking separately. I was like, I just love touring. I'm surprised at how much I love touring because I did it when I was young. Like, I did colleges and stuff like that, but it was always insanely stressful to me.
Right.
Because I didn't have enough time to be doing an hour. So it wasn't that I couldn't enjoy any part of it because it was, someone signed me up for something I can't actually do. So now I'm here at this college. I'm supposed to do an hour. I have maybe 35 minutes and I can't, and I don't believe in my own ability to and improvise.
I felt that way a handful of years ago. Like, I don't have an hour I'm proud of. I think I finally got to the point where it's like, I don't have to worry about doing an hour. And you're right. That's where most of the stress is. It's not from renting a car and driving, waking up, oh, I have 5 hours to drive today. All that stuff I thought would be bothering me, and it wasn't at all. It was terrific. I loved all of it. Yeah.
I just love that also this podcast and the people that support it are what's changing your experience as well.
Yeah, it 100%. It's been overwhelming. I can't. It's every time. It makes me so happy.
And it's so
always
cool.
Kind people, and they always, when someone's like nervous to meet me, like I've done something other than just riff with you for a few years. Is this really happening? Keep it coming. I am not. A lot of people message later and say, I didn't want to bother you. And I'm like, no, I feed off of it.
Yes.
It turns out I need this. I didn't know I needed it.
That's what we say all the time when people go, do you, like when we're in meet and greets and stuff, like, is this so hard? Do you just want to go home? And I go, are you kidding me?
No.
Since I was like 5 years old, I've been tap dancing for attention like this. And now I finally get it. Like, it's what I love.
Finally, strangers giving me what I need.
Finally, people screaming at me for random reasons. I love it.
Yeah, because if you aren't getting that, it seems like an unhealthy thing to be needing.
But once you're getting it. It is an unhealthy thing.
Yeah, but once you're getting it, it's like, this is the healthiest shit ever.
That's right. It's like this, I was right to be unhealthy to need this because it is now, it is like a lifeblood. Like it is like a vitamin B12 shot in my ego.
Right, and maybe that's why I appreciate it so much, because it's a lifetime of me sticking things up my nose and pulling them out of my mouth or whatever I do in sixth grade, trying to turn my eyelids upside down.
Yeah,
or just saying funny things. I wasn't a Jim Rose circus sideshow.
No, but you did it all.
But I did everything.
Do the physical well as the verbal.
Voices, sound effects.
Raising your hand, but then your question's weird. Great classroom comedy.
Acting like I was going to say something, but simply a fart came out of me. early attempts.
Yes.
And I'm finding my voice. And it's finally, it feels like it makes sense. And
yeah.
It's great. I'm so glad, I didn't perish in my 30s or something.
Yeah, me too.
Because I finally made it emotionally.
You did. You got to some high ground.
And I can tell I was happy because I was, even though I was on tour and laying in comfortable beds, I was waking up like at 9 a.m. I didn't realize that my sleeping in, which I've always done, was maybe a sign that I was depressed or not happy. I think that's...
How late did you sleep in?
Noon was pretty easy and typical. And now, 9:30, if I do go back to sleep, it's a conscious decision. Like, I'm tired. I'm going back to sleep. And I don't wake up feeling all guilty. It's when you wake up, oh my God, it's the dead of day and there's only 3 more hours of daylight left. Because of farmers a century ago, we're all setting our clocks this way because they want to go to bed at 8. Explain it to me. Explain why.
Yes, that's it. They had to change stuff to make it easier for farmers to produce more because we are a capitalist society.
Right.
It's killing us all.
Yes. And I do not think it ever was getting dark at 4:30.
In natural time?
I would have noticed. I would be adjusting to this.
Oh, you mean before this year?
Yeah.
No, this year it's darker, faster. There's definitely, but it's also the vibe. It's like the vibe. You wouldn't notice it if everything else felt light and you didn't have to worry about truly like the breakdown of democracy every day.
Right. So you really do think it's political climate change?
I mean, it's climate change, right? The threats are coming from goddamn everywhere. You've got crazy, like, white people that have decided they can start screaming at people if they feel like it.
Yeah.
The threats are coming from everywhere.
And the stars and moon are listening.
And your
drunk redneck uncle.
You want light around so that everyone can see what's happening and everyone's safe. And when the sun starts going down, it's like, I don't know what's going to happen now.
Right.
I don't know what evil is going to come out, and it's already out.
Yep.
What else can happen?
Yeah, it might as well get dark. This is the weather equivalent of giving some Midwest biker a microphone and telling you how he feels. Does that make sense? No, of course it didn't. Are we hot and sweaty? I feel like we're in a Bikram yoga class.
Yes, I have to turn on that thing. Ooh, sorry.
It's quite all right.
I have to turn on this. I keep turning it on and turning it off because I know it's creating an issue for Steven.
Well,
I could definitely use a little air, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll just have a little interference then.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing. I listened to early episodes, and it sounded like we were in a wind tunnel.
Yeah.
Or one of those skydiving places.
Who was that asshole sound guy we had before?
No, wait a minute.
Honk, honk.
I was actually trying to think of it.
You're like,
who was on the ones and twos? It was me. With the same equipment, the same exact equipment. That's how I know I had no talent.
Well, that was, I think, you know, if we're talking about like the people coming to support you and how exciting it is, we started this podcast about as like grassroots as you can start a podcast, which is you and me sitting in your car, thinking of the idea, going, we really should do this. Then it's like, well, then what do we do now?
Okay, let's. The first episode, we didn't even have a name yet. We were like discussing it. Well, I guess Do You Need a Ride's a good name, right?
Might as well like figure it out on tape.
Yeah, I didn't realize that first episode is. And man, it was enjoyable, but we're way better at it now.
Yeah.
I think we just know each other. We didn't really even know each other that well.
No, we were just kind of trying. Also, I think I've learned a lot about podcasting and what I like when I listen to it has helped me. Obviously, listening to other people's podcasts, but also just the experience of. The idea that you're going to, okay, I'm just going to listen to somebody else's conversation right now. So what is that? What is the fun part of that? And it's not like, it's not what I expected. So I was very worried about things that were more almost stand-up comedy-ish when I didn't need to be worried about them.
Yeah, like I was worried about, what if we talk at the exact same time?
Which is like, I think what we do.
Yeah.
And also it's like, no one's looking for hard jokes. It's like, they want to listen to two people they actually like as people chat and discover and kind of like have experiences that they can also be having along with.
Yeah, and you're not going to get hard jokes from me. And what that's always been my promise, comedic softballs all day.
I'm like, I will be conversationally interesting.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
I'll throw the premise out there. You think of the rest of the joke.
You do the shitty pun, you fucking hack. Whoops.
And that's how we have such beautiful fans.
That's right, because people get up. Well, this is the thing, too, and I've said this a lot, because when I started stand-up, and I'm sure it was like this for you, too, but I started stand-up in 1990, when you would show up to a club, and it would be a bunch of people who just came somewhere to get fucked up and potentially yell at the performers. There was no fanship. There was no, I've heard of you before, I followed. Oh, there was, but I would say it was 7% of the audience was, I really like comedy, so I come here all the time.
Right.
And I like to watch new people I've never seen before. Like that, I met maybe two people in the first 8 years of doing real club stand-up where people said things like that.
Yeah.
And other than that, it was truly people that got free tickets at work. It was people that were on their first dates, so they were chatting away. It was all kinds of shit that was anti. And in this internet age, God fucking bless it to hell. When people, if they like you, they find you and go support you. I can't tell you the difference it makes in terms of my emotional stability.
Yeah.
It's just so much nicer.
And I don't need a room packed with, I do like a mix of, you know, people that are on my side because they know me, just a handful. And then they'll kind of guide the regular people that have never heard me before. Like the show in Dallas was just a full comedy club room. They weren't necessarily there to see me. There was some people there, just actually, yes, like 30 people.
That's a lot.
But it was a full club, so it was like a perfect, I'm like, okay, I want to indulge these people and maintain that connection, but also there's these strangers and I have to generally make your dad laugh.
Yeah.
Because there's like, I always want to be able to do that.
Of course.
Middle.
Well, no, I think that's maybe the thing that podcast listeners, there are people who go to live comedy shows all the time, and that's why they like podcasts. And so that, and that's sometimes how they find us or whatever. But then there's definitely people who are just, oh, I listen to podcasts and I'm not really a live comedy show person.
There's so many of them.
Yeah.
This is my first time seeing comedy.
Yes. Live. And they kind of go and they learn how to be a comedy audience.
Yeah.
Because it's a different thing. We're like, when April and I started Business Class, and we had a ton of, I had a ton of Murderino listeners who would come. They would sit there and be dead silent.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you were there for all those shows. Chris was our headliner every week.
But they were so excited to be there, but you can't tell.
No, because they would just stare and stay silent.
The times in the past when I've laughed at this person, I get in trouble at my desk.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So I got to stay quiet.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really funny, but it was kind of like, but after we did it for a couple months, that all changed because all those people were like, oh, I get it now. And we're that's what we're here for, kind of thing. But it's funny when people, they don't realize, or it's like, I'm here to support you. But it's like, oh, no, I don't want you to support me. I want you to judge me objectively, and then I want to earn your laughter.
Exactly.
That's the point.
That's what I'm saying. That's the combination I want.
Yeah.
Come in with the support, but learn how to like comedy.
Well, and also because it's not a conversation, it's a much more just stand up. And the reason I don't have the passion for it that I used to is because podcasting is how I love to do comedy, like love to do it, which is just conversational comedy. Stand up, there is a fakeness to it that if you're great at it, that no one feels the fakeness.
Right.
But the fakeness is like, it's that part of it that it's not a conversation and it's not a two-way street and it's not even, no one's even going to pretend it is. It's just like, it's this, I'm going to do actually an intensely memorized monologue that I've done a million times with this idea that I'm doing it for the first time.
Right. And no, I have to pretend like it's because I do repeat myself, but my goal was always to make it seem like it's coming to me right then.
Yeah.
To the point where I'm
lying. Of course.
Oh, I just thought of this.
Well, we all are, though.
Yeah, everyone does that. That's the disappointment of the art.
That we are true liars in every sense of the word.
Everyone's a liar.
We're fucking lying our ass off.
Last Tuesday, this didn't happen. It happened a Tuesday 3 years ago when I wrote this. I'm so sorry that I'm lying.
This happened to my friend in college. I'm going to say, oh my God.
Me.
Right before the show, right before the show.
But yeah, there are, if you're a podcast fan that goes to shows and you want the audience to know that you listen to the podcast a lot by yelling out Dinar things, do resist. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, because
don't just yell the word turtle.
Your excitement, although highly appreciated,
way up there,
is actually ruining it.
Not appreciated by the dads that are just there because it's a Wednesday
and don't understand and feel like they're being left out. And then also, the word turtle being yelled at you isn't in the highly memorized monologue.
No, I don't have turtle jokes. I know I should have written some.
You better fucking open that file on your laptop and start writing some turtle-ized jokes.
It'll just turtle-ize.
Turtle-ized.
Are you guys ready to get turtle-ized? Big Banner comes down. Boy, he really built his career.
You know what's funny? When we first started touring My Favorite Murder, that would happen constantly because when live podcasts are very new conceptually, and they are podcasts. So people go there and it's just like, well, now's my chance to be in this conversation.
Right.
So I'm going to yell, I love you. Or I'm going to yell whatever I think you're going to laugh at, whatever, where it's like, the thing is, sometimes we enjoy the thing some person yells because they're especially smart or funny, but overall, do not fucking yell shit during a live show ever.
Save it for after. I'll wait. I'll talk to you for 20 minutes. I spend a lot of time, and I didn't think I would like that because I don't like selling things after a show. I don't like to sell CDs. It always felt weird.
It is weird,
And I know you can get a little extra money that way, but I don't know. I always hide, too. I never think it went well.
Right.
But now there's people waiting, and it's really cool.
And also it's good practice because you don't need to hide because it did go well. Like that's 90s weirdness
that
we have to let go of.
Yeah. It's this new healthy 2000 shit.
Yeah. Like, where it's like, love yourself, be proud of your shit, brag about it.
It's
all the stuff that's completely foreign to us.
And
it's highly damaged late 90s comics.
That's the one thing all successful comics have is the ability to promote it. Like Billy Wayne Davis was talking about that. Like how strange it But of course necessary.
Yes.
It is to remind people you are good at this and this is what you do.
Yeah.
And that you have confidence and believe in yourself.
Yeah.
I always thought, ooh, that's cockiness. Gross.
Gross.
No one liked that guy in high school.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Oh. It's like that guy's, but that guy now has $1,500 in his pocket because he sold 25 CDs after a show.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Or he just got into real estate.
Or he stole it out of someone else's pocket.
Yeah,
I mean, we don't even know this person.
It's the only way to earn money is by damaging other people
yeah.
to get it.
Emotionally? Mentally?
Yes.
Oh, but
financially.
As a capper.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't take this as criticism of the people who have yelled out at shows, because we do love, the love is felt.
Yeah,
and
it just
understood.
Depends on how you do it. To have timing. That's all it really is.
To be something good, but also in that way where what you think that's going to get you, you're incorrect.
Right.
Because I genuinely don't like it at all. Because you're not in charge of the show. You came to be an audience
every
member.
Once in a while, though, I'm like, you got me on that one.
No,
because
well,
you had great timing.
Yes.
You're sober. It was on topic and it was perfectly placed.
Yes.
And thank God, because I didn't have a punchline to this story. Nate Craig got married last week.
Oh, and we congratulations, went to the,
yeah,
Nate.
It was a really cool ceremony, and I love his wife. She's they're great together.
That's
and
great.
They did a bottle breaking thing, like a Mazel Tov thing in the beginning.
Yeah.
And so during
Jewish tradition.
Yes, yes. On behalf of there was some
their Jewish God.
Jewish representation there.
Sure.
Nate's good friend oh. did some
agents?
Some speaking in the yes.
CAA
people in the industry.
Was
yes, of course. Oh, we're gonna get in trouble for that. And then so during my speech, which like we were saying, funerals or weddings, God, I wish that stand-up went that well. I was just killing during this
oh,
toast.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I had a scheduled toast, and I was more nervous for it than the Comedy Central thing. I'm like, this is going to be memorable, certainly for Caroline and Nate. Please don't mess it up. And she was laughing so hard that she dropped her champagne glass, and it shattered. And right then I was like, Mazel Tov! And it went right at the end of my speech.
Yes.
I was like, where am I going with this? And the Mazel Tov was a callback to the ceremony.
Yes.
And the crowd, it just lit off. I'm bragging right now.
You can.
I really had a great toast speech.
Yes.
It was loose. There was jokes. It was fun.
Love
it. And then I immediately got out. I danced a couple songs. I went home early and got a lot of sleep. It was great wedding. Perfectly did it. No hangover. Oh man, I couldn't have done it any better. Being a guest at a wedding.
Well, you know, you could have. If you had gotten married at that wedding.
Right. That is one-upping myself if I were to one day become a groom, I suppose.
A groom at Nate's wedding.
Yeah. Then I got to write those vows. They had great vows, too.
Oh,
jokes,
did they?
Yeah, just perfect. Meaningful. I didn't know Nate cried so much. It was great.
Aww.
He never cried around the apartment.
I bet he didn't.
And
that's beautiful.
Yeah, it was great. It was a really good one. And and it was a lot of people I like. Not in the room. It was on a cliffside in La Jolla.
Wow.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful.
So cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
I'm so happy for Nate.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
Yeah.
Also, I've seen. Is that him right there?
Oh man. That is...
Sir, come back.
That's the Nate. That's the version where Nate would be like, well, he kind of looks like me, but I'm offended.
Yeah.
That was the less handsome Nate.
Yeah, it was definitely. Nate Craig is a very impressive stand-up comic because I don't believe good-looking people are as funny as other comics.
We're trained to think that. Yeah.
It's true bias, and it's a jealousy.
Yeah.
But Nate Craig is a great comic, and he is a truly beautifully faced man.
Yeah, he is a, he looks okay with his shirt off, too, and it doesn't even work out. It's just,
really?
Give you the inside scoop. And
Would you
know that I'm just, I'm looking at his body clinically.
Now, you say he was married, but do you think it's gonna last?
That's
my cougar character. Of like, oh, now that I know he has big pecs, I'm gonna get in there.
Throw a little raspy smoker voice in there, and I'll believe you.
You and I have known each other for a long time. Let's get real.
Turn around. Oh my God, the back's as impressive as the pecs. That was like that in Twins. It's one of my favorite moments where they get matching suits together, Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger. He spins around and he's like, oh my God, you're back. It's like, it's crazier than the front. And then he shows back and it is, his back was like so muscular that you could tell it was just some classic DeVito improv.
Yeah.
It was a great moment. And
Twins, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a great film. Go out and see it. And be sure to check out Jojo Rabbit if you want to laugh while crying endlessly.
I can't wait to see that.
Very, very good.
Please don't tell me anything.
Okay.
I can't wait to see it.
It is a perfect little movie, I think.
Okay.
And great. I don't, by little, I mean it's didn't have a giant budget.
Right.
But it's still very good.
Well, that's what everyone's been saying. And,
yes.
And also I saw the trailer, and usually trailers, you kind of go, oh, that's interesting, but ooh, every movie. And the trailer of this, it started so good that I was like, I'm going to stop watching this because I want to see this movie clean and clear.
Yeah, there are a few moments like the lines.
If you tell me.
Those kids, they give that kid the best lines. Both the kids, all the kids are great, but they waste a few of the good lines in the trailer.
Yes, they always do that.
Yeah, so in the theater even, it would have been a laugh, but they blew it in the trailer.
Yeah, they always...
But they gotta show stuff, you know.
They gotta show... Well, they've rationalized showing stuff, but I don't agree. And I used to fight that fight all the time when I worked in television, and they would cut together promo clips, and they'd be like, we're putting this in, and I go, you're giving everything away. And they're like, there's not giving it away. There's like such a cynical thing of giving people a taste, but it's like, but you... You can give the taste and not give the fucking entire concept where there's no point in giving people the entire concept. It's like, tease them to come and see the whole thing.
Yeah,
don't just give it to them and go, you could also watch this again when you get here.
I think you'll be surprised. Even they don't give away too much.
Okay, great.
There's just some jokes that are spent. But man.
Do you think I should still be mad about a job
Scarlett
I worked
Johansson.
At 15 years
yes.
ago?
Yes. Anger should be, it's the only way you make things better is by harboring resentment.
Okay, good, good, good.
Yeah. I have stuff knocking around in there from 30 years ago.
Hell yes.
And one day I'm going to get my emotional revenge on it. But yeah, it was so good. Scarlett Johansson.
Stop talking about it.
In town. Okay.
Can we meet for one drink?
Didn't. No, you were so goddamn funny. All right. And now, so you were saying the traffic wasn't as bad?
Shut up. It really, something must have happened.
Something happened.
There was a 17 car pileup and they cut off because I was trying to tell Steven and Chris before we started driving that traffic isn't bad anymore as we now sit in inexplicably terrible traffic on the tiniest street.
We do always end up recording around 5, though.
Yeah, it's
true. It just works best for us.
It's, yeah. I mean, if we were planning it, shit.
Oh, no, you're fine. No one's going to be walking on this crosswalk. Let's pull up. Classic Starbucks crosswalk park.
Damn it.
Ooh, we didn't get our coffee. I have so many cards.
Oh, shit.
I have like 50 of them.
I have so many cards.
I have so many.
Okay, yeah.
Do you want to have a card contest?
Yes, let's play cards with the cards
we
have.
I was wondering how many you got. Is there a Starbucks card, bring a Starbucks theme on MFM?
No, but people will do it to say, give this to you and Chris and Steven.
Oh, so yeah, I have more cards.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I'm hitting the bricks as the Dinar representative.
Nice.
And the cards are coming in.
Oh, and we have more stickers from Steven. Sorry, tell me her name.
Oh, Ashley, a constant designer.
Yes.
Ashley is her name, yeah.
We have more of those stickers where we're all in the Volvo.
And when we wrap up this episode, I'm going to address some of the things sitting in my lap.
Oh, yes.
But it's too dark right now. I want to do them justice. But handmade, holy shit, this book,
Jesus.
This hand-drawn book is absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about it.
Based on one episode, and I think it was a Todd Glass one. I think I saw his drawing in here, but it is...
Right, sorry.
No, that was scary. It's a hand-drawn, hardcover, well-made little book. It looks like it was made in a book factory.
A little tiny book.
And the attention to detail and the quotes, it's absolutely
so basically
amazing.
Someone someone hand drew an episode of the show like a graphic novel in a tiny book.
Yes.
It's crazy.
It has the elements of miniature, which I have stated I appreciate.
Yeah.
And that's why I got little candelabras and little mint. I could start a dollhouse now, and you know I'm going to buy a turtle and put him in the bed. I follow a toad that lives in a dollhouse, and it's just the most entertaining thing ever. But yeah, this illustration, it is pen and ink. It is absolutely amazing.
What's the person's name?
And I'm going to wait. It has to be signed. Her name is Sophie, and she lives on the Isle of Man.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The Isle of Man.
A tiny island in between the UK and...
Ireland. Yep.
We looked that up. I don't just know that.
We made sure to know what we were talking about.
And then this cross-stitching?
Yes.
When it's on a tight little drum thing?
Or embroidery.
Embroidery. Mouth horn. And it has perfectly spelled... what is it? The
phonetic spelling
of...
It's the best.
It reads like mouth horn, which is not easy to spell out.
Pretty amazing.
And that came to us from Bronwyn.
Bronwyn, thank you so much. And she's from Canada?
Yes, she's from the Isle of Canada. And I believe she also made this lyric spell out of the Do You Need Ride theme song, which we posted photos of. But well,
might be cross-stitching.
I mean, this is the kind of shit. What are you trying to make me cry?
I know. Sophie and Bronwyn, we stood in the kitchen at the Exactly Right Network Studios, me, Stephen, and Chris, and looking at these gifts, like bent over at the waist, going, ooh, look, what?
Yeah.
It's just like the best Christmas ever.
I mean, this book is phenomenal.
It's so cool looking.
Yeah. Look at that picture of Todd Glass.
I know.
It's
great.
And that is hand, it looks like she's one of these people that her handwriting is a downloadable font, or deserves to be.
Yeah, well, and look at that. Fucking selfish.
Enjoy your needlework, you fucking selfish asshole. That
What's
sounds
that
like
from?
You. That was
yeah,
you.
I think so.
I smoke a lot of Fraggle Rock. That was me.
That's you. Here's my impression of a Jamaican Irish guy. Cagney and Litchy.
Oh, look at Mount Zion. God.
Okay, we're going to post a couple pictures of this book because it's mind-boggling.
Look at that heavy metal.
Yes.
Wow.
What is it? Oh, look, there's Cafe Gratitude. What does that say?
And then it's...
Namaste.
Namaste, but it's like in...
metal.
Yeah, it looks like Corrosion of Conformity. font, a band that we've all... There's Snow, the Informer.
Oh, man. Let's not read the whole book to everybody.
Oh, God.
Spoiler alert.
This is not good podcasting.
It's not at all.
Welcome to I Read a Book for the First Time.
And it's a book of shit we've already said.
Yeah. Excuse me while I repeat myself.
This guy.
These are amazing. Thank you so much.
Yes, you guys. Thank you. Lovely. Amazing. We're so touched.
And these are conclusionary moments.
They are
parked in the exactly right carport.
Yeah.
And it's bad to leave the car running, even though it's an open-aired garage.
Is that true?
Well, it just reminds me of suicide.
This is a hybrid, though.
Oh, right. Yeah, well, we might... The microwaves.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. How was Santa Barbara's...
It was magical. You need to come next year.
I will. I would have. I was on the ye old road.
No, I know. But we missed you, and it was very fun, and it was very, like, it was very kind of touching, actually. I didn't realize how stressed out I was about it until after we got home, and I literally couldn't get off the couch for 4 days, and I realized it's these things where I want to do these things, but I deep down don't believe they're going to go well. And not because everything hasn't gone magically for me for the past like 3 years straight, but because I keep going, it has to end sometime, so it's going to end this weekend. It has to end sometime, so it's going to end blah. Like,
right.
I can't stop doing that because I have my special certain type of neuroses. So I was like, this is what it's going to be, is a bunch of people who wish they hadn't spent this money and blah, blah, blah. Like, I tell this whole story
yeah,
and then we go out into it, and it is like 20,000 times better than I thought it was going to be. And touching and beautiful and great conversations and meeting great people and seeing people that we've already met on the road five times that come to our shows when they, whenever they feel like it. Like these people who have now, like we know them by sight when they come to the meet and greet. And it's just fucking touching and amazing. And like, and then our team was there who they're there sometimes, but like they got to see all the magic, like actually in real life. Like it's a thing that me, Vince, and Georgia have been experiencing by ourselves for 3 years.
Right, right.
Or 2 years, whatever, however long we've been touring, where it's pretty fucking like Rolling Stones-ish.
Yeah.
And then when we come home, it's just like, but basically us and Steven are the only ones that know about
it. Yeah, trust us.
Yeah.
Take our word for it.
So now it's almost like everybody else got to come and go, holy fuck, what's going on?
Yeah, type of thing. I just like it when fans come to a show and they see each other and it validates them. Or it's like, oh, a lot of people like that. And then they're, and I heard people saying they should hang out because of their interest in the same podcast.
Yes.
These two sisters, I forget their name. I was supposed to go to a restaurant they recommended, but I was distracted by the hurricane, so I didn't go to that marketplace run by your mom. But these women were like, we should hang out because of, do you need a ride? And they're like, yeah. It was really funny. Or maybe they are. Maybe they all have a group now.
I mean, I don't know, but that's how it's gone in the Murderino community is, like, that's all we hear is, now I have all these friends, which is just, like, the most touching thing.
And you saw,
time.
I sent you the diner, someone had a personalized plate. Like,
yes,
that is so close,
yes.
So close to a tattoo for me.
Oh, my God.
Someone asked permission to have a tattoo of something I drew, but it's not podcast related, so that doesn't, if the minute they're, now, don't go out there and just get a crazy tattoo like a drunk sailor. Because I'm saying this.
No, definitely do that.
But somebody, please. Yeah, get a Do You Need a Ride tattoo.
Somebody, please.
Yeah. And not just a turtle. People are going to think it's a 90s yoga thing. It has to be of a specific...
It has to be a sun.
Yeah.
With really squiggly rays coming out of it.
Yeah, get a Sublime sun.
it needs to be... if you could get barbed wire around your bicep, that would be the Dinar tattoo that we would be interested in you having.
Yeah, it's just to get
if we get a say at all.
Yeah, just have a hint of early 90s white reggae.
If
of
you, course. I mean, what we're saying is have some fucking respect.
For Mount Zion.
Rip up! The only reason I knew that's how I could do it is because I read it in the book.
Yeah, it's phonetically.
it's phonetically there.
Oh, this should be mass produced just so people learn how to phonetically reggae jive. What do you call it? Or reggae riff. I don't know. I don't even know what it's called. It's being a clownin', reggae clownin'.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean scatting, but reggae style.
Scatting. Thank you. Thank you. It's reggae scat.
I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I don't
about?
Know. I just, all this, it's because where the car's running and all these hybrid fumes.
The hybrid fumes are, the battery acid is getting into your brain.
Yeah.
All right, then let's wrap it down. Do you have any plugs? Do you have anything else you need to say? This was a fast episode.
No. I'm taking a little break and then I'll be out on the road soon. Pacific Northwest is next.
Love it.
Ooh. Look out Seattle and Vancouver and those places.
Give some dates. When roughly?
Oh, I don't know yet. We're just putting it together.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, then Pacific Northwest, get ready.
Yeah.
Because then Chris is going to drop some dates. Like, again, Missy Elliott drops her album. So you better get ready.
Yeah.
Morning of.
Inhabit that scene edge. Because that ass isn't going to be there forever. It's going to be at the show.
It's going to be there in the front row, politely listening. And sometimes if an idea is really good,
if
it gets yelled out.
If sober, yes.
Sober, well-timed, well thought out, not random.
I drink a lot, by the way. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? D-Y-N.
A-R.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba
With Karen and Chris.